Hey, good morning, and welcome back to the LifePoint DraftCast. My name is Brian Broyles, and I serve as the community life pastor at our Delaware campus. And you know, this past week, we wrapped up our series that we've called Alive, where we've been looking at the letter to the Ephesians. And the big idea of the series, what we've said every week, is that Jesus makes us new. And this week, we're Paul's kind of last instructions, right? The last thing that he leaves them with, and makes you think about all that he's written, all that we've looked at over past several weeks, right? Paul wrote about how salvation comes by grace through faith. We looked at the unity that a Christian has with Christ. We looked at, you know, the unity all Christians have together in Christ, the mystery of the gospel, how this should look on the ground in our lives, how it looks in our homes, in our relationships. I mean, Paul's given us just about everything a follower of Jesus needs to live out the Christian life. But now, at the end of the letter, he's got one last thing to teach, one last thing to leave them with, that along with being made new comes this new battle that you and I as followers of Jesus are engaged in, this new enemy that we're to stand against in spiritual warfare. Now, Paul wrote in verse 12, he said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." You know, some things we know, right, is that Paul did battle flesh and blood. I mean, he did all the time. In fact, right now, he's writing this in prison. He's likely chained to a Roman guard. And if you follow his ministry in the Bible, you know that he was beaten, he was criticized, he was imprisoned, and he was abandoned, all by flesh and blood. But he says that's not where our struggle is, against flesh and blood. So why is Paul making this contrast between flesh and blood and spiritual forces, between the physical aspect and the spiritual aspect? And I think Paul knows this, you know this, I know this, that the first stop for us, the first thing we tend to focus on is the physical, right? But Paul says that's not where our struggle is. And it may seem that way. Right, what you're struggling with, what you're up against, it may seem that way. You might think that the battle is purely physical. Maybe it's the addiction that you're struggling with, or the relationship that you're trying to save, bouts with loneliness and depression, pride and temptation. Those things seem like flesh and blood. I mean, think about all that we've seen this year in our nation or around this world. Some of us have become so zeroed in on the physical, our marriage, our finances, our health, and we see that as our struggle. But he recognized, and we need to recognize, that there's something deeper than that. There's something larger and more powerful at work. And Paul says that our struggle is with spiritual forces of evil. And he references this enemy, the devil. It's not a political struggle, it's not a social struggle, or an economic struggle, or even a theological struggle. Scripture's clear that there's a very real enemy, and this world is more than just physical, and he's the dominating influence in this world. He sows dissension and deception. It says in 1 John 5 that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, and that's where our struggle is. One of the problems is that so many of our culture have thought of him or think of him metaphorically, like it's a philosophical metaphor for evil. And he would love nothing more than for you to think of him metaphorically. In fact, the greatest thing he's ever done is to make you think he didn't exist, or, you know, if you're a follower, he's just banking on the fact that you'll forget he's there. Paul said our struggle is with these spiritual forces. And this word struggle, just want to get the weight of it. It means it's fighting, it's struggling on the ground, it's hand to hand. I mean, it means to wrestle. In Greek wrestling, the objective was to throw your opponent to the ground and score a point or a fall by holding their back or shoulders to the ground, or by keeping them in a hold so tight that they couldn't escape from. Paul uses this term to describe the hand-to-hand combat that a believer is in against these powers of darkness, and that it's a spiritual battle and it's not a physical one. It's so hard for us, I think, because it just takes all the power away from us, right? I mean, flesh and blood problems means that we can come at it with flesh and blood solutions, right? I mean, if I can see it, if I can explain it, then I can fix it. But like in most things, there are absolutely steps that you and I can take. There are practical things that can be done to address some of the problems that you and I face, and we should take those steps. You should use all the practical resources available to you, but we have to recognize this, that there's just something deeper to address. And there may be things that you and I could do differently, things that maybe have been neglected for some time that now need to be given attention. But in all that, you can't ignore the spiritual side of it. We see it in marriages so often that married couples will begin to struggle, and they do the things that they can do. They go to counseling, weekend retreats, read about love languages, and you try all the practical solutions that you can, but there's just still this disconnect in your relationship. I mean, those things are good to do. There's some benefit from taking those steps, but there's just something deeper. There's a spiritual aspect to this that you can't underestimate. In that section of text, there's three commands. It says, be strong in the Lord, put on all the armor of God, and then stand firm. So Paul begins, and I just want to talk about this first command. He says, be strong in the Lord. I think we have to ask ourselves, why would Paul start with this? I think because you think about it, if you have a weak person who can barely stand, you put all the best armor on that person, they're still going to be an ineffective soldier. It starts with strength. When you enlist in the military, the first thing, basic training. And one of the purposes for basic training is physical strength. And this be strong, it can sound like a coach giving a pep talk to motivate someone, but Paul says be strong in the Lord. He doesn't say be determined. He doesn't say be disciplined. Because it's not be strong in yourself, but be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. That's, I think, what we got to get here first, is that you're not the source of this power. This word we translate to be strong, Paul uses it three times in this section of text. It's present and passive, which means it's something that we have to allow someone else to do for us. It's not just a one-time thing, but continually. And considering all that Paul's written about so far in this letter, Paul spent most of Ephesians assuring you that this power is yours. He could have just said here, he could have reworded this to say, you have to allow yourself to be continually strengthened by the power already available to you in your new position and relationship with Christ. I just want to be clear, this is a command. It's not a suggestion or a request, and it's really one of the conditions that Paul gives to standing firm against whatever the devil may bring. That your strength must be in the Lord and not in yourself. In this battle, your strengths are more of a liability, because those are the places that you forget to depend on God and lean on His strength. And you can't be strong in yourself and be strong in God. So if that's you this morning, if you've been trying to fight this battle, trying to deal with challenges and struggles in your own strength. Maybe you're tired, you're exhausted, weary, and you've been fighting hard, but really from the wrong place. I want to invite you this morning to pray to God and ask Him to strengthen you, to sustain you, and to show you how willing that He is to fight for you. I want to give you a minute. Let's do that now. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. I hope it's been encouraging for you, and we hope to see you back here again tomorrow. God bless.